Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking the latest on the NFL playoffs and the Tennessee Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How are we doing?
Not much, guys. How are you this morning?
We are doing very well, and Corey, obviously a very eventful weekend in the NFL with the divisional round of the playoffs, with the Final Four being set, the Bucks, the Packers, the Chiefs, and the Bills. Who impressed you the most over the weekend in the divisional round?
They were all good. I mean, all the teams that won were really impressive. I think I'd have to say the Bucks, because they were the ones I least expected to win. You know, both the defenses in that game were really, really good. And the Bucks, you know, really picked it up a notch and made Drew Brees look not very good. Now, does that mean I think the Bucks will win the next game? Not necessarily, but of the teams that played, I was most impressed by what they were able to get done against a really good Saints team. But I thought all the teams were really impressive.
What'd you think, Corey, of Andy Reid? Yeah, you know, turning Chad Henne loose late in that game. Is that a little bit of a house money call after winning it all last year?
You know, that's exactly what I said after that happened, Joe. Does winning it last year make that an easier call to make? Because, you know, if you haven't won it yet, you're probably pretty tight, you know, thinking I've been here 9 million times before and it's slipping away from me again. But that, you know, regardless, that was a gutsy call. Because, I mean, they're, what is it, 4th and 3 inches? And they're in a shotgun with no backs in the backfield. And everybody in the world is saying they're just trying to draw them off sides. And I'm like, if you're trying to draw them off sides, you've got to have a back in the backfield. Because I was like, they're going. I mean, this formation doesn't make any sense to draw them off sides. And, you know, that's just, I say supreme confidence in your preparation and in your belief in your play structure as well, which Andy Reid's as good at as anybody, but among the gutsier calls I've ever seen. That was something. And another reason to like Andy Reid.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Corey, we've anticipated that this was going to happen for a long time now, but now it's official. Arthur Smith, no longer the offensive coordinator for the Titans. He takes the head coaching job with the Falcons. How nervous should Titans fans be today that he is gone and that he will not be the OC next year? And where do you think the Titans go from here with that job and that position?
It's a million-dollar question right now. I mean, what do they do? I mean, when they talked about continuity last time, Arthur Smith stood out to me pretty easily as the guy who made the most sense. And I know a lot of people looked at Pat O'Hara then, and I think you have to look at Pat O'Hara some this time because he has called plays. I think it was in the XFL or one of the other sub-leagues. So he has done it before. But I look at Todd Downing, a guy who's been a play caller before, and not only has worked with tight ends, but has also worked with quarterbacks a lot in his career, as a guy that I think makes some sense. But again, it's all on relationship with Vrabel, relationship with the players. And regardless if they stay in the organization or outside the organization, they need somebody that understands what they do well. They don't need somebody to come in and try and reinvent the place. And that doesn't mean that they have to grab Arthur Smith's playbook and just operate out of that. But, you know, it's understanding your personnel and what gets the most out of them and moving forward with that.
Corey, if the report out of Jason Lock came forward, which again, you know, make the slippery when wet references there, grain of salt, mm-hmm. but still, guy who's connected, you know, in Baltimore is saying that Dean Pease may join Arthur Smith's staff. If he does, how would you read that, both from the Pease perspective and the Titans perspective?
You know, it's interesting because, I mean, it makes you really wonder why he stepped away. I mean, you know, if he's ready to come back and coach and coach somewhere else, you know, why did he step away? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was just time, and maybe he figured out it wasn't just time. Maybe he has a much better relationship than Arthur, but then we know. I think for Arthur, it's a great hire. He needs, you know, Arthur's not inexperienced, but he's inexperienced as a head coach. And so I think it would be wise to have a couple of real veteran coaches. And, I mean, there's a guy who can, you know, basically take the defense off your plate, which is pretty good. But it is interesting, and I think everybody's eyebrows raised when they saw that and thought, what exactly does that mean?
Corey, I want to get your perspective on a guy that, you know, we spent a lot of time on the show talking about, and we talked last week about the short-term future with guys like Malcolm Butler and Kenny Vaccaro and decisions that the Titans have to make this offseason, but kind of forecasting long-term with Adoree Jackson. What do you think his future looks like? Because to me, I mean, he's been a really good player, but I think there's also I've just been waiting on him to take that next step as a cornerback and become like a true number one shutdown type of guy, and he hasn't done that. What do you think Adoree's future looks like here with the Titans?
I mean, first, Adoree's a good player. Don't get me wrong. But can we say he's been a really good player for this team?
Maybe not. Maybe just good is adequate.
I mean, do I think, you know, they need to get rid of him? No, I don't. But when you're starting talking about paying guys $12, $13, $14, $15 million a year, you have to know that guy's a pretty big-time player for you. And, you know, that gets to be a hard call. I mean, it does. Could you not draft another corner in the first round and feel just as good about it? Because he's not doing the return game for you, which is one of the things you drafted for him. Drafted him to do in the first place, and that didn't work out. He has had very good stretches. He's also had some not so very good stretches, which makes this last year really tough because you would have liked to have seen a whole lot more of him. And, you know, look, he was off forever and then came back and tried to play, and it wasn't great, but I don't know if we expected great after being off so long. So I think it's a tough spot. I mean, because you don't like to let good players walk. But again, how much is somebody else willing to pay him? And are you willing to go that high? How much does he stand to make this year on that fifth year option? Isn't it like $12.5 million or something?
Yeah, somewhere around.
I thought it was 10-2, but it's somewhere low eight figures. Yeah.
All right. I mean, how do you guys feel about the eight-figure number for him and what he's given this team right now?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, he's been good. He's been a good player. I think he was their best corner last year. I thought he was developing. And then, like, how do you judge this year? Yeah, it's 10.2 mil. It'll be his option number. It is a lot, you know. But
if you told me it was like eight, I'd be like, okay. But, you know, you start getting to that eight figures, it gets a little bit more difficult. And how much more room for growth does he have? And also, he's 4 years in. I mean, do guys grow after 4 years at that position? I don't know. I mean, it seems to me the great ones are pretty great when they walk into the league.
Well, it's an interesting situation, too, because the guy who really, I thought, played well this year and who just competes was Malcolm. And, of course, he's got a bigger number. And then is Christian Fulton going to be who you thought he was when you drafted him in the second round? It's hard to answer that question too.
The other thing is that fifth year option isn't guaranteed until he's on the roster the first day of the league year. So they could still step away from that if they wanted to. And then Malcolm Butler, I think I did the numbers on that. I think they saved $10 million this year if they waive him. I think his dead money numbers like $4 million and his cap numbers like 14 or something like that. I mean, so they're tied into some big numbers with these guys, and that's a whole other reason to watch the end of next month when they release what the salary cap is going to be, because there's a big difference between 175 and 198 or 195, which people are talking about right now. In figuring out which ones of these guys stay and go, because I always try to tell everybody it's not the best 53. The best 53 that fit under the cap, and that's what makes this hard. I'd love for all these guys to make $10 million. I mean, but you've got to do the math, and that's when I talk about this stuff, it's almost exclusively math related, and you know you're already in on Malcolm for his price, and then you put Adoree at his price, and you're in a big number at two spots.
Exactly, and you've got you know a guy in Desmond King who maybe you love him, and you want to pay him. I mean, it's very interesting. So Corey,
well, he'll be more affordable, that's for sure.
So, got to ask you on Deshaun Watson, how big
yeah.
in the world of dumpster fires / tire fires / you know grease fires, whatever you want to call it, where does the Texan situation rank? And do you actually believe he's going to be quarterbacking someone else next year?
You know, it's hard to believe it is that you would trade away an elite quarterback because they do not grow on trees. And this guy is really, really special. I think we can all agree to that. And if you're a Titans fan, I mean, this is really exciting. I mean, I said last night on Sports Extra, I said, you know, Adam Schefter reported that they're discussing trade partners and what their quarterback position would look like without Deshaun Watson. And I said, there's a real easy answer to that. It would look worse. I mean, unless you're going to go get Pat Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that, it's going to look worse. And those teams aren't going to be trading with you. It's amazing to me how entrenched the owner seems to be in his course of action with the people he's surrounding himself with and how unpopular that decision seems to be within his organization. But he apparently doesn't care. And if that's the avenue he wants to go down, he's going to go down that path. But the whole way this is tracking with the structure of that organization since the original Mr. McNair passed away is that this thing is, do you remember in 2012, like when the earth split open and everything just went to hell? that's like the Texans right now. And I mean, if you're a Titans fan, this is just like a beautiful thing to watch. Because they don't look like an organization that, despite having a wonderful quarterback, is going to be going to the playoffs anytime soon. Because they look like a flat-out disaster right now. They are right now are making Tommy Smith. They just told Tommy Smith, "Hold my beer."
Nice, very well done, Corey. Last thing for you here: conference championship weekend coming up. Who ends up in the Super Bowl? What's the matchup?
Yeah, it's really hard to say because I can make an argument for every single one of those teams. I am going to say I really like the way the Bills are playing. I really like the way the Bills are playing, and I think that they're going to be tough to beat. So I don't like to make a pick on Monday, but I think I might be leaning to Buffalo right now, especially with Patrick Mahomes' injury situation. And, you know, I've liked the Bucs all year. They've mystified me with how bad they've been at sometimes, but I really like their roster and the makeup of it. But I just like Aaron Rodgers at this point of his career more than I like Tom Brady at this point of his career. So I'm going to go with a different combo than probably a lot of other people, and I'm going to go Bills-Packers.
I like it. Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, thanks, guys. You guys have a good week.
Absolutely. You as well. And when we come back, we're going to discuss something Corey brought up there a little bit further. What in the world is going on in Houston right now? And is it really a possibility that Deshaun Watson will not be the quarterback next year with the Texans? We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.